the whole truth and nothing but. And you know what? You know how you have troubles? So I couldn't find my power cord to my laptop and just all kinds of sorts of stuff. I'm here with no phones, so I may have to borrow you guys' phones to call paramedics after I get done. Because, you know, I may pass out. Am I too loud? Am I? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So John 4, 23 through 24 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I used to work at the courthouse and everything, so I would see all kinds of crazy in the courtroom. And then I used to love Judge Judy. You know, I used to watch, you know, several programs on TV until Pastor canceled our TV. You know, so, you know, now I can't really, because if I relate anything that's going on this week to my sermon, they're going to know I accidentally saw something. And I didn't. I'm telling you, everybody that's on Facebook knows I have not been on Facebook. Not at all. Okay? And then, you know, and so I've been really diligent. But when you, when in working, you we're supposed to, we have to use the internet for work. And so when I log on to Comcast or whatever, you see these, yeah, you know, what's going on in the world today and stuff like that. And, you know, you get started and then you stop. And so I'm just confessing that I would get started, but I would take every thought captive in Christ. And then, yeah, you know, I did the best. I'm doing the best I can, you know, because if anyone's into social media in here, it would probably be me. More than a lot of us. And, yeah, you know, I'm not just hanging out. I'm trying to do the right thing. So if I was defending JR, and then, you know, and I gave you reasonable doubt about JR, then, then he can run free, right? Whether he did it or not. Plausible deniability is what it's called. Yeah. And so, and then so, you know, we can defend ourselves in the world we live in today because you don't have enough proof, right? You just can't really prove what I've done, or you're coming up short. You need solid evidence, or I may get away with the crime of the century, you know? And many people today have gotten away, but we know we're believers. You might skate free here, right? But you're gonna pay later. Yeah, right? So, a false witness can work adversely for the falsely accused. And an alibi in court can work wonders for the accused guilty party. So if I can come up with a good alibi, then I can, you know, I can sway the thoughts of the jurors and even the judge, you know. I could even have, depending on the alibi, I could even have the prosecutor, you know, believing I'm right, right? Okay, so a strategic alibi and lies of all types are good for resolving matters. I mean, we're living in an age right now, according to what we're seeing on TV, you know, that lies are working for people, right? So if you know, I don't have to tell the truth. If I can lie and get away with it, why tell the truth, right? Bless the Lord. Bless God. So the Bible tells the whole truth. Now, look, some of us are fond of some of the characters I'm going to mention. I know it might sound strange. Go do your research. I love all the Bible characters, but the Bible tells the truth while characters in the Bible are known to lie. Right? Okay, so we have a book that's so truthful. It tells the truth even on the non-truthful, right? So we can count on this book, okay? It's solid truth. It's not trying to, like we would do, trying to butter it up, you know? Here's the Lord, David's my anointed one. But he was a murderer. So because God called him his anointed, he didn't take out the history of his murder, right? And so, so, and then all the rest. Now, in every case, it's not necessarily mentioned what grieves God or what actually happened in detail, but you can read for yourself. God doesn't like lying, okay? He hates it, right? And just because it can get us away or, help us run free, and then even if it looks like it's for a worthy cause, it's not God, right? Okay? So, so for the most part, we're talking about lying and truth today. And it all points back to Jesus. So, because Jesus is the truth, right? He declared himself to be the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so it's going to be it would behoove us to try our best to be truthful in the inner parts, because that's where it counts, because God is omniscient and he pays attention to the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And that's where he wants the work to begin, right? Before, we could get away with stuff and then we get busted. But now Jesus says what? The time is coming when we'll worship God in spirit and in truth, okay? So it's not like before. When did this begin? When the church came on the scene, okay? He wouldn't build his church on a lie, right? So I kind of set that up to say people in the Bible that have, been known to lie, Jacob's mom, you remember her? She plotted. She was plotting. Yeah. Carried out her plot and everything. The things that could have happened regardless of her plotting, still God's will prevail. You don't need to plot. You don't need to do set the stage. You don't need to be strategic, especially if it's pretentious and is going to disconnect you from God. See, everybody else may believe you and love you for what you've done. But if you're in disapproval with God, that's bad. It's right? Okay, so we remember Jacob's mother. A lot of people love Naomi for planning a Ruth's wedding. Go lay up under this man's blanket. That sounds very ungodly. But and seeing that wasn't really happening. But don't get mad at me, ladies, that, for real. Taritha might want to tell Tia, now you go lay under his blanket. Don't tell her that. You get it? That was probably not the best advice. There was a way for her to get Boaz or meet him. And even Esther, the book of Esther, I love these books, but you're going to go put your Jewish daughter in a harem and then she sleeps with the king. You get it? Okay, so God is not, he's really, when we read that, what do we get out of it? Such a time as this. I mean, who doesn't say that? For such a time as this. But if you pay attention to Jewish customs, that would have been non-customary, right? It's like, look, all right. So my point is that liars, they were there, they're here, they'll be here tomorrow, right? And they come in categories, believing liars and unbelieving liars. Okay, right? Okay, all right, yeah. And JR's pointing to Mother Shirley, I guess she's been lying. No, she apologized. So anyway, you guys, now you guys know these stories. We're not going to read all these stories, and that will shorten the length of what could be a very long afternoon. So, but Rahab, she lied, and people want to really credit Rahab. Now think about it. That's a hard one. It's a hard one. And because she hid the fact that these spies were hiding on the roof. So I don't want to get into that, because then you'll call me a heretic or something. But I just want to say that God would have more than likely, and more than likely he did approve of her faith. But God has made his clear and precise will that lying is not what he wants. Okay, now, she wasn't necessarily a Hebrew, Israelite, Jew. She was one of those worldly women that, you know, she knew how to do things, right? So we could kind of expect her to, look, when you're a prostitute, you don't just sleep with people, you learn a trade, right? And so she knows her business, okay? It's not that all prostitutes end up in bed, some of them, and so, you know, watch the kids. And so, yeah, so you know what I'm saying. All right, so then Potiphar's wife, she lived a daily lie. I mean, she's sitting there lusting after Joseph. And then with her husband, you know, look, this is my wife pretending to be my wife, but she's after, who's she after? She after Leroy, right? Now, how do you, I mean, really? And when you think about it, how do you come to terms with that? So there's some commentaries that suggest that he knew his wife was wayward, you know? And even though he blasted Joseph and everything, he knew, you know. I'm not sure, but I've read several different accounts or commentaries. But, and then the parable of the shrewd businessman that he was about to be fired, and he was so shrewd that he goes and with his boss's money. So he goes and gives you a break, you know, here, you just pay half, you know. So everybody's happy with him. And Jesus describes him as pretty smart. And what's the goal here? You'll be happy with him after he's unemployed, right? So you'll invite him over because look at the great deal you got, right? Okay, so these are, you know, these are liars. Yeah, am I all right? Yeah, all right, y'all. Yeah. Start looking at me. Be crazy. All right.
What did I do?
It is too loud.
No. Oh, it's just hitting your zipper.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, thanks.
It's when you put your hand down.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. All right. And then, so let's ask ourselves a question. I mean, really, even though we may have some lies we've told, right? And even today, we haven't come clean with some of those because we don't have to, right? You know, I mean, you know, why come, that's 20 years ago. You know what I mean? There's no reason. I already told God about it. He understands, right? But, and that's key, of course, that's our Father, right? So we come to him, and then I always say this, but, I try to usher it in as if it's new because it's filler when I'm preaching. But what happens is that he sets the stage for us to take our confessions on the road. So confess to God first and foremost. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? Okay, so knowing and believing that he's cleansed me and he forgives me and all of these things enables me to go tell you and tell everybody else, right? And listen, if you had apprehensions before about telling the truth about something, look, depending on your faith in God and your belief in who he really is, I'm telling you, depending on that level, you'll have that much to share relentlessly, right? Without apprehension. You look, it's not just raw confession like when I was in the 12 steps. They would come in and just say any old thing irreverent. Yeah, I did it, loved it, right? It's not like that. It's a reverent way of explaining your fault to other people so that you really have nothing to hide. What's going to happen eventually, if you hide your stuff, when it comes out, you'll be found to be fraud, right? So it's like, well, Why would I be found to be fraud? I mean, it had nothing to do with you, my life, right? It had nothing to do with you. So how could you call me a fraud? I didn't owe you an explanation, right? But God wants us to be walking testimonies. Look, in his kingdom, It's spotless. Streets of gold, right? Transparency. If I'm harboring a lie, the Lord can see it right away. You were faultless until unrighteousness was found in you. You know, blameless until unrighteousness was found in you is what God says in Ezekiel about the enemy. Am I right? I think it was Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Okay, until our unrighteousness. No, it's Ezekiel. He was in the garden of God, right? Satan was in the garden of God. And so he's talking about him, an anointed cherub. You're right, all dressed and, you know, and all this, and that you were blameless in all your ways until unrighteousness was found in you, right? Now, it's just like radar, like with your kids and stuff. And I'm learning a lot from the Hawkins kids. My childhood was not like their childhood. It wasn't like Clemas's kids. Where's your wife? Oh, okay. So, we'll work with you, man, and get y'all back together. No. But not like that. I didn't grow up like that. I grew up in secular crazy. It was crazy. Okay? Some of us grew up in crazy. Pastor Jamie doesn't understand why we don't want to move seats sometimes in the church. It's like, why don't want to move from one seat? They always want the seat. Because we've been moved around so much, you know, nothing's stable. You know, once you find a corner, you just want to sit in it. You know what I mean? It's like, please let me sit. Can this be mine? You know? Now look, it doesn't have to go on like that, but I'm learning, and it's taking me a minute, but and over time, I'm sure I'll be able to get up, Dave, and walk away from the chair. I'll be able to do it. But right now, please let me have my corner. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so there was so much instability and so much crazy that, you know, I thought it was normal. And then when I started seeing normal, I'm like, oh, I missed out. And I messed up. You know, messed up from missing out, right? Bless the Lord. But the truth of the matter is I was lied to. We came to this place under the guise of a lie, okay? We were lied to. The people that lied to us were lied to. Generationally, lies have been going on all the way back to Eden, right? Bless the Lord. Bless God. So God hates lies, and he loves the truth. Does it help us in any way? You might think about, if I was married, I would think about this. I think about this, and I'm not married. But if I was married, I've given this some thought, okay? Is that my wife, and wives do. They ask their husbands, you know, or their boyfriends or whatever, you know, how does this look on me? How is this? Yeah, right? And you can't lie, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, all right. So I could go sit down now. I blew it. All right. So, okay. So here's the deal. All right. So that makes me, you know, look, we are supposed to do what we can when we can to encourage each other. Right. But look, I'm a guy. I've always really only known, and I'm dated now. Because back in the day, I was at Chess King and Silverman's and everything, trying to catch up and be cool and everything. But I'm dated now. But I believe if it even, I might want to overlook the outfit and look at the request my wife is making. She cares what I think about her. You get it? It's not the outfit. You look good. You look good. You know what? You can dress up crazy. Don't say that. But just because you care what I think, right? So I'm not lying, right? And I'm not trying to be clever. It's just that if it were going on with me like that, I do believe she would get that from me because I don't deserve a wife. Listen, it's true. We don't deserve God, and we don't deserve wives and husbands. We've been adulterers and all kinds of fornicators and everything you can think of. And then you come and you get a wife and stuff, and she cares what you think about her crazy-looking outfit. If it's crazy, that matters. That matters. That makes sense? Okay, so look. So my point, we don't have to lie. We need the wisdom of God to see the request that's being made. Right, okay? We, that's what we need. We need to tap into God's wisdom because he's going to share with us the response that we have to make. Okay? Sometimes you feel up against the wall, but the truth of the matter is that I don't want to lie because I love you. Maybe, the balloons. Take the balloons off. You know. All right. Because we can't lie. God hates lying, okay? You know. And still be happy that she put those balloons on and cared about what you think about them. Six things the Lord hates. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet made haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. God hates that stuff. Lies are in there, okay? He hates lies. He doesn't like it. We're striving, or should be striving, for ways to tell the truth. Always looking for ways. We're Christians. If we're found to be lying, it ruins the reputation of Christians. It really puts a blemish on God's kingdom. We're the only representatives that people are going to see from this kingdom, right? This is us. This is a responsibility. It makes sense. It's not just a selfish quest here that I'm going to lie so I can keep the dough. Okay? That's not it. I'm going to tell the truth so that God's name won't be blasphemed among the nations. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Bless God. Okay, so Revelation 21:8 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Okay, so look, we're saved. I always have to reiterate this point. We make mistakes, right? We lie. I was talking to Pastor Jamie about a guy in a Bible study that I hang out with. And yeah, I mean, you know, look, you can be, look, coming to the Bible studies doesn't mean anything. If you, you know, if you plan, if your heart is destined, right? To he determined, he took a barn all the way to commit sin. It was a long ride. It, you know, never in the ride did he give up his hope to sin. Right? It's like, yeah, you know, so what we want to do is, I have the struggles from my background that what eased my life and stuff when I didn't feel, you know, I just didn't feel like a man should feel about things. And then I had the Lord in my mind, but I wasn't making him Lord of my life. Right? And so what I did was I would go and try my best to manage my life, in other words. But things just weren't turning out right. And so, you know, I would just content. I was a spiral out of control. And so, but what I believe is that God was merciful with me and patient because he had a plan for me. And so in all that I indulged in, from drugs to the sex and all of the stuff that I was indulging in, you know, that comes with a price. It does. It comes with a price, some to the point of death, right? But I can have a mind convoluted with those thoughts of yesterday. sometimes hopeless romantic thoughts of tomorrow. You know, sometimes right in the middle of whatever I'm doing that's godly, thoughts can, I can only attribute them to this past life that was, I had no idea that this was going to saturate my being and make me, you right? And so what I don't want to do is discount thoughts of lying. In other words, take every thought captive, feel important, porn thoughts come into your mind, something you did with someone somewhere in the back of comes to your mind, you take those captive. If a lie or the desire to lie comes to your mind, you take it captive. Because if you play it out, you'll see the end result as rewarding. But the lie is, it's not. Well, look, listen, what does the devil do? At the end of it all, ha-ha, I got you. You're trapped. You look like a liar. Look, we just need one more liar to add to the crew of liars that are calling themselves Christians, right? And so because you let the lie play out and it was a selfish reason, and now what do you have? You have destroyed the reputation of the kingdom. How is that? How could I alone destroy the reputation of the kingdom? Listen, we're one family. All right? It's the truth. So if I do anything for God and then people appreciate what I've done for God, they're looking for me to be at least on the road to flawless behavior for God. Where none of us are flawless, right? But when you deliberately cover, Eddie Long comes to mind. You know what I mean? It was like a deliberate cover. You have an opportunity to share the truth. If you don't, it builds. It turns into a big circus. And before you know it, when the truth comes out, you've discredited and discounted this Christian kingdom of which you're an ambassador of, right? Take lies captive. They show up. They're going to come up. What's the best thing? Oh, I better lie. I better tell a lie. Listen, Corey Ten Boom, who saw The Hiding Place or read that book, The Hiding Place? Yeah, so it's about a Nazi overthrow in Holland. And these Gestapo, I guess, came to her house. And, you know, her sister was a diehard, so much so that it would make you sick. She would not, she was going to be about the Bible, for the Bible, never leave the Bible, ever. The sister was something else. And she died in a concentration camp. But when two of the kids ran in the house, and the Gestapo saw those kids run in, two boys. And they had a cellar underneath the kitchen table. And it had a rug on it. And the table sat on the rug. And a tablecloth covered the table. And so they were sitting around the table. And when the Gestapo came in, they go, "Where's those boys we saw run in the house?" Right? And the non-lying, effervescent sister that's never, she just tells the truth. She said, "They're under the table," right? These are her own brothers, you know. But this is, look, she's not going to lie. This was, look, if God wants these kids killed, this is what's going to happen. But I'm not going to lie. That was her whole point. Now, look, no one in here is probably thinking, "Well, I'm not going to do that," right? That's my brothers, my little brothers and stuff. I can't go that far. But God did deliver, because when they raised up the tablecloth, they weren't there. But they were under the floor. So you get it? So look, but she didn't care. It was like, "No, kill us all." You know, she's just one that you would want to kill. You should kill her before the Gestapo comes in. Because with her, everybody's dying. So, this is that type. Everybody's known a type like that. They're just so apple pie, they're just going to tell it. But listen, she was right. She was right. And if we're going to suffer for Christ, it may mean that we have to tell the truth about something that's going to not only get us killed, but it could actually get people we love killed. Now, it would be hard for a mother to do this and this kind of sort of thing. But I'm telling you, the scripture says right here, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. This death is not the death that we're concerned with. If your kids spoke up and said, I'm here under the cellar or whatever, and then died, they died for Christ, and they won't die the second death. Did you understand? The second death is the lifelong, everlasting, forever in torment, separated from Christ. This is not joke camp, okay? This is not. You're in the army of the Lord, okay? And honestly, there's a whole lot of social issues going on right now in the world. Crazy stuff is happening. I mean, just crazy, but where you can see clearly every aspect of the video clip or whatever it is you're looking at, you can see clearly someone was innocent. And pow, we had to kill him, right? When you see that, it grieves your heart, right? And so we decide, oh, we got to go join Beyonce and everybody because they fighting for this. No. No. No, it's an opportunity, though, to witness to the people. It's an opportunity to bring God into the equation. Seems like perhaps they may not want to hear about God because why would a good God allow this? He's good. If you taught him or her about God, their death wouldn't be in vain. They will live forever. It's not about here. About here is giving it up for God. Everything, your life, your desire to lie, your desire to accomplish all these things that you've been dreaming of, bucket list, idealism, all of it, you can toss it to the side because listen, you've already been there, done it. We're in here, 90% of us are 90, okay? Look, come on now, we've done it. So let's give what's left. Give it to the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm serious business. Think about what I'm saying. I don't think I need to say it again. But think about it, okay? Look, you're Chinese. You come from China. You join the American army. You may have to fight the Chinese, okay? I'm sorry, you're in the American army, all right? When you join the Lord's army, okay, it's not about flesh and blood will not, listen, what does the Lord say about our flesh? It's not, it's trivial. We're all one race. This is the honest truth. We're the human race. We're one race with different shades of people. We're nations. But we're all one race. And this is the truth. So what the Lord is saying is no flesh will glory in my sight. I can't go join up with the non-believers because the kingdom's going to look like a mixture of hobnob crazy mixture. We can march. In the very marches, we can march together to usher in the kingdom. Believe me, the cameras won't be on us, so you'll be safe, you know. They'll divert those cameras and put them on over here and over there. We have to stay collective, a crew, a peculiar group of people, okay? Peculiar. How come they're not over there fighting for the black rights? We're fighting for God's rights. It's the truth, okay? Now listen. This won't brainwash you in one session. Look, you go home and you pray. And you read, and you see what this thing is that you've been listed in, okay? We're not who we think we are, okay? The Lord is trying to wake us up. Don't lie in my name. Don't lie in my name. Don't. And look, well, I won't use your name, but you're a Christian. Be a Christian. Bless the Lord. Bless God. You know, I care. Look, this is risky business because you'll be labeled an Uncle Tom and all kind of Tom and stuff like that. But I would just as soon go and meet the broken down person on the road, no matter what color they are, no matter what political position, no matter what, and feed that person and house that person and then pay the caretaker to take care of this person's needs. You see, there's a role for us, okay? There's a role for us. That person's going to see the love of Christ, not social justice. And that, I'm telling you, it's so mixed up. You don't know what you're fighting for. When you get, look, the kids today don't even know their position. They just want to argue. Why? Because they've been done wrong. They've been raised in crazy homes with mothers and fathers and two dads and three uncles and all kind of crazy. Okay? They don't know that. Look, we don't understand why they're angry. They're angry because they've been misused and they've been neglected and abandoned. See, and they want something and they don't know what. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Now, there was more scriptures to validate my points, but I'm going to skip all of those and get down here to Ananias and Sapphira. Truth tellers. They love the truth. But a man named Ananias and with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? He contrived the deed. It was plotted and premeditated, right? He planned to lie, a planned lie, right? And so who's ever planned to lie? Okay, only three of us, four of us. We're ashamed in front of the rest of you, okay? Right? Okay. Right. So, all right, with those words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last breath. Bam! Okay? He died. Okay? Now look, stuff like that wasn't going on just because you lied. You know what I mean? That was kind of new. And I think that what Jesus is trying to convey here is that the time is coming when you will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He didn't want his house built on a lie, right? He didn't. He wanted it built on the truth, right? Right? Bless the Lord. Okay, so we've all heard that story before. We've all wondered and meditated on it and stuff. Some of the things that come out of this is, well, were they Christians? Ananias and them? And then were they, you know, or were they just non-believers that got in there and tried to, what? What's going on with them, right? Okay, so even before we even delve into that, I mean, look, Christians lie. Yeah, we lie, you know. It's bigger. Look, I think I've said something alluding to this before, but it's bigger than just opening your mouth and saying something false. If you're thinking right now, Edna, I wish David would hurry up, but you're smiling. You lying. You quit lying. Quit lying, Edna. Years, you know, she does it every time I preach. She's sitting there. You get my point? Okay, look, God pays attention to the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. He's in there. Look, he's omniscient. That means he knows everything. Does he know everything? Does he know? He knows. Does he know? Bless the Lord. I'm proud of y'all. But I got to use y'all too. No. But the honest truth is that, look, we can laugh at it, but we see ourselves. Pretentiousness is lying. Now, look, I don't want to give the exact expression when you come to me with the balloons on, right? I don't want to, I don't want to do that because we need to take control of our emotions, have everything in check. You know what I'm saying? So we should have a steady, pretty steady, you know, a pretty steady continence. It should be pretty expected that he's neither gonna frown or, you know, he's pretty steady as she goes, right? What I'm saying? But when you're telling yourself, she looked like a fool, you get it? But you're smiling and you're lying. It's a lie. And this is where where it matters to God. This is where he's looking at his believers. Okay, here in the mind, okay? This is what I'm calling the mind right now. God is paying attention to this area, because if he can get that area, he's going to make something extraordinary out of us, right? If he can have this area and clean it up, he's going to make us phenomenal, okay? But if it's about putting on a look, right? Or you've learned from, and look, and the world has ushered in all these shows where you're sitting there and you're smiling, and as soon as the person leaves the room, kill him. You know, this is where the world has gone, and the movies have taken us there. And we expect it now, but not us. This is not the will of God for us, okay? We have to start practicing telling the truth. Nothing will survive without it. Listen, his kingdom is still gonna flourish. It just won't have you in it or me, right? If he's gonna have his way. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the will of the Lord that will prevail. Okay? His will is gonna happen. We can get in the bandwagon or we can continue our charade. Okay? But there's no reason why we have to lie through life. Okay? There's no real reason. Bless God. Okay, it might look like it's resolving issues and stuff. Oh, how will I deal with this? You know, and I go into the board meeting and then tell them all the lies, and they stand up and they give me, right? He took care of all that business. Oh, all lies. Okay, and I go home. Like, was it Mordecai goes home to his, was it Mordecai? What was it? Haman goes home to his wife, and he's all happy, honey, and they love me, and they took me to the banquet. Tomorrow they're going to kill me. But, you know, the banquet, right? You know, Mordecai. Okay, in the book of Esther, they're gonna kill me tomorrow. He didn't say that. The truth is, lies lead to death. Sin leads to death. Okay? So what we want to do is confess our lies. Confess our lies, our lying hearts. They're deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know them? That's all our hearts. Okay? All our hearts. Some of you may not be in agreement with the social mess that I said. It's in your heart right now. Well, I don't agree with that. But I agree with the other. Okay? Don't agree with it. Agree with God. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling the truth. Agree with God. And then when you have a problem with God, take it to the Lord. Bless the Lord. Unregenerate heart. An unregenerate heart is simply operating without conscious awareness of God. What's her name? Rahab. Okay, so Rahab, okay, as far as we know, she was unregenerate. She wasn't an Israelite. Your expectations of her should be kind of low. This is her first encounter. She's heard what these Israelites have done. That appealed to her. Now she's going to use and do in her own way what she can do. Okay, let's give her a break. Okay, but at the same time, don't forget, her faith has made her noted for years and years to come. Okay, God didn't say, and because she lied, he's not writing that. He hates lying. I'm sorry for spitting all over. All right. Sometimes, I don't lie. I didn't play like I didn't spit out there. And so, look, I'm sorry. It just flew out. I'm sorry. Bless the Lord. So, okay. And then it was just a little. Then regenerated hearts. Sinful operations aware of God's omniscience. Look, a regenerated heart is aware that God is lurking through. Lurking might not be a heavenly word, but he's maneuvering through our hearts, looking for spaces in our hearts to take up residency. He wants to live and occupy the entire heart. But if we keep and hold with petty permission, so to speak, areas in our hearts that are reserved, that I don't need to go that far, then it can't be occupied by God. Well, who's in there? I mean, the enemy has residency in areas God wants to occupy, right? We have to allow God to work in and through our hearts, have full reign in our hearts. How do we do that? We can ask. This is something he would love to answer, to respond to. Look, it should be a daily request. You lie daily, ask him daily, okay? Look, it's the truth. It's true. Look, we don't realize most people lie maybe 25 times a day. I'm telling you, from the how your wife looks on up to the telemarketer calling. You know, I don't want to, no, I'm not here. You know, you get it? We lie all the time. It's a look. So let's start asking God. I confess, I really want to change. I want you to change my heart. Circumcise my heart, right? Look, we need heart circumcisions. It's a little painful at first. It's true. It's going to hurt. But look, it's the truth. Okay, but the end result is what? He's made something out of me I couldn't make out of myself. Look, I couldn't do it. Look, there's people that don't lie, more than likely, except in thought. You know what I'm saying? That you're going to sin in your thought life. But there's people that have a control over their life, but independent of God, it's not going to garner them the things of God. They won't be a testament to God. We're in here because we are his people, a royal priesthood set apart, a holy nation. Bless the Lord. Look, unregenerate hearts see no need to make themselves accountable to God or anyone. Okay, we need to make ourselves accountable to God. We're regenerate. What we end up doing is cloaking our need to be fully accountable to God and others, hiding that. Okay, well, no, we need to come clean right away. Right away, so that not he walking in the garden, I'm running up to him. Is that you? I sinned. Okay, this sounds crazy. Even the whole idea of not eating off that tree should have begged the question, why? Can I ask you why? You know what I'm saying? Or not just harbored in my heart, that tree, what about it? You know what I mean? Look, this God, the God of the universe, is our Father. He created everything. He's not lying to us when he tells us, you're mine, my children. You can come into my throne room to receive grace and mercy in your time of need. That's any time you have a need. Anytime, come on in. Feel like lying today? When? Come on in. You know, look, don't just sit there and ponder and harbor the lie and let it come to fruition. Let it come forward. You had time. You had time. And all the rest of those lies, once you get this ball rolling, we'll clean your heart up spick and span. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. An alibi in court can work wonders for the accused guilty party. He hated, this person hated, according to me, this person hated dairy-free products, okay? This was my testimony in court. A statement that could have a strong impact in the case of a husband that died from lactose intolerance. He hated dairy-free, right? He hated it. So how could he have died, you know, as a result of lactose intolerance? Well, the truth is he hated diet dairy. Okay, he liked Kite Hill and the others. You get it? Dairy-free. I'm sorry, I said dairy-free. Did I say dairy-free? Okay, so he hated dairy-free, right? But he died of lactose intolerance. So that means he was drinking dairy, right? I've never known it to kill anyone, so this is exaggerated. But what I'm saying is this is what I might say in his defense or in the defense of the accused, okay? So the lie. I'm omitting the exact nature of his death. Okay, in other words, I knew that he liked some non-dairy products, but I said he hated dairy, non-dairy products. He liked the real deal. So look, I omitted that fact, right? So omissions are sins, right? And because of that omission, because I set it up like that, this wife that murdered her husband, pouring milk all over him, she gets to walk away free, right? And I'm not to blame. You know, I'm not to blame. So here's the deal, because I told the truth about one aspect, but I didn't divulge it all, right? Okay, so the goal, what was the goal? To free the wife in order to start an orphanage with her husband's estate. Listen, I care about the children. You get it? If we can get her off of this murder case, we can use that money to start an orphanage, right? And everybody be having their, they'll know we created this orphanage, we got the babies going, and our names are great, okay? Thoughts and intentions of the heart, our unchecked motives, this is where God shows up. What am I really thinking? I'll finally get this woman for myself. All right? Look, all the time, I didn't even know, because my heart is desperately wicked, right? I didn't know I wanted her to that degree. But when the money started piling up in her favor, you know, right? You know, I'm still human. And what other motives? With the money we can get, I'll get cars and homes that I've always dreamed of, right? And what else? I need to pay my bills. Bills are important. I need to pay my bills. Now, I didn't disclose certain things because I hoped that she would get off. That's an abomination to God. Okay? This is, you lie, and someone's life is at stake. And you lied with selfish motives, right? So listen, what we're trying to learn from the Lord is to divulge it all when we can, all that we can at the time that we can. I mean, think about it. You have time to get in the presence of God and tell him all about it. What's going to happen? Man, look, look, a woman who walks in, I used this before, at my mom's funeral, they thought it was, my message was crazy, but at her funeral, then what happens is if a wife walks in and catches her husband on porn, you know, looking at porn, then she knows, we got trouble. This is big, right? Okay, look, so he's trying to lie and scream and get out of it and everything, but that's how God is. It's like, we've got trouble, and this is big. Your heart is lying. You have a lying heart. I've made promises that include you. I can't bring your lying heart into the kingdom because I promised the people of the kingdom no more death and dying. Your sin will cause death and dying in a kingdom that I promise no more death and dying, right? This is the Lord. This is the, look, he's immediately will spot our issue. We're not ready to go. Look, oh, please, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're not ready. Okay. All right. Yes, he's going to zap us. He's going to, well, translate us. He'll heal us at the time. But listen to what Jesus says about us coming up short. I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. So what the Lord wants to do is reward us for everything we gave up here, even the ability to lie. See, the lies could get us and garner us things, but we gave those up so that we could have the rewards in heaven. Bless the Lord. There's just one more thing to get rid of. Toss this baggage out, right? Let him fill us up with things that are eternal, that are going to last forever. Right? It says that speaking of Ananias, it says in Acts 44, 32 to 35, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that many of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And the land, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had a need. Look, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Ananias is in that number. You see what I'm saying? So whatever they were, Ananias and Sapphira were also, right? Okay, yeah. So look, I don't know. To me, if you ask me, I've never seen anybody just drop dead from lying. But that looks like an indication that they may not be going, you know what I mean? They might be going, that just looks like an indication. But I don't know. I can't send anyone to heaven or hell. But what I do know is that it's not our sin, but it's a disbelief in God and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that sends us to hell. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, we don't have a history of them being bogus liars all over town. They don't say much about them, but they do show that lying could lead to death. Okay? This is, look, if you want to spend your time here working for the Lord and get all the time you need to do all the things he needs you to do, throw the baggage out. Get rid of it. Quit playing a game. This is not, he's not playing with us. It's not a game here. He wants us to represent him in spirit and in truth. Okay, bless the Lord. This is not the game that we think, okay, it's not. Okay, so we can do this, and collectively we can do that. I can ask Donna, Donna, you lying? You lying right now? Okay. All right. Look, we could check each other. I don't care. We can do this, but we need to be accountable to each other and to God. Okay? That this is his will for us. He hates lying. Look, we can pick out other sins, or he hates those transgenders. He hates what they're doing to themselves, mutilating their bodies. He hates that. These bodies he gave. Okay? You don't go cut off important parts of your body. You don't do it. Look, what you do is you live with what you have in accordance with his will, even if you think it's going to make you unhappy, you're making him happy. Right? So the Lord is the one that we please. Okay? We're living to please him because he loves us so much. We can't fathom his love for us. Okay? Don't go messing up. Don't encourage people just to be their friend, encouraging them. Yeah, you know you're in the wrong body. Go on and cut them off. You don't do that. Okay, this is not a joke. We're in a time right now of great delusion. People will believe a lie over the truth. Okay? Look, that doesn't mean I'm done. But that doesn't mean, this is what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I'll just believe the lie that Klamas tells me. It means I'll believe working a lie. What does it say in Revelations? Worketh a lie. He works a lie. I got a whole string of things going on I'm planning, and they're lies. They're based on lies, and they should give me the achievements I've always wanted. Okay? People are going around today believing it doesn't matter. You lie, but you get where you're going. The lie is worth getting there. Hillary Clinton couldn't take her, she couldn't confess that she didn't run from the gunfare in Bosnia. She said she was running and hiding and ducking. Look, when it was found out that she strolled across the tarmac, she said, well, I misspoke. I mean, listen, that's a lie. But lies are working today in the favor of the people of the world. We can't do like these people. We don't get it done lying. Quit lying. Look, if it's hard to quit lying, acknowledge that and say, I tried, Lord. Now I need you to help me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's not just lying. Quit sinning. I tried to quit, Lord, but I need you to help me sin. Quit sinning. Right? Bless God. Bless the Lord. So I think I made, you liars. Looking at me lying, Pastor, yeah, you got time, Dave. No. Listen, I want to pray. Or did you want to pray? Okay. All right. So listen, that's it, you guys. Bless the Lord. Yeah, bless God.